want to take a moment now and thank Elder Victor for opening God's Word last week, last Lord's Day, in my absence. We turn to Psalm 6 today. And we'll be reading the entire psalm and having a few thoughts, a few reflections upon Psalm 6 as we consider God's Word together. Excuse me. Before we open God's Word, let us come before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do say with Asaph the psalmist that there is none on earth that we desire besides you. Though our heart and our flesh may fail, Lord, you are the strength of our souls. You are our portion forever. Indeed, you teach us so clearly in your word that we as your people are your portion, your special possession, and you are our portion, our special possession. As if we could possess the living God, yet you give yourself to us in Jesus Christ. But Father, we thank you that we have this time now to enjoy our relationship with you by feasting upon your word. We do pray, Lord, that you would minimize the distractions for myself and for those who are listening, that you would overcome any hurdles or obstacles that we might have in seeking to reflect upon your word now to our profit. We look to you now, O Spirit of God, to open the treasure chest of your word to us, and to give us understanding and to give us satisfaction in the knowledge of the truth. And we pray as well that you would be using your word to continue conforming us who belong to you to the image of Jesus. We pray all of these things in his name. Amen. Psalm 6. I'll read the entire psalm. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. We'll end our reading of God's word there, as Psalm 6 ends there. Perhaps you've come to our service this afternoon with some questions. Why are we in our homes once again for Lord's Day worship? Now that why could be technical. Why could be less technical in your mind. How distracted, perhaps you're asking, how distracted am I going to be trying to do church from my living room or from my office? I wonder who's watching, who's not watching. Are we truly together as a church? What's your question or questions this afternoon? I'll tell you what mine is. How long, O God, until this is all over? Until this pandemic and its collateral damage is truly in the rearview mirror rather than right in front of us? How long, O Lord? God knows the answer. In fact, God, we know, could end this whole pandemic today if he wanted to, but he hasn't. He doesn't. We continue to find ourselves weighed down, don't we, in some way, shape, or form by this ongoing burden. And I know, friends, that I'm not alone in asking the question, how long, O Lord, until this is all over? Well, friends, asking this question of God, how long, even with emotion, even with agony, even with what we could call a godly discontent or frustration, is not in itself sinful. In fact, for the child of God, I would say, asking this question is a stepping stone toward greater sanctification and maturity in Jesus Christ. Because when God's child cries out, how long, O Lord, we have evidence that God is indeed at work in the life of his child, transforming their character. But there's a right way and there's a wrong way to ask this question. How long, O Lord? There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And the Psalms help us immensely with this. I often remind you, and will continue to remind you, of John Calvin's very helpful analogy or illustration, we might say, of the Psalms as what he calls an anatomy of all the parts of the soul, an anatomy of all the parts of the soul, Calvin says, is what we have in the Psalms. Everything that we, as the people of God, might wrestle with or face or feel or struggle with or be loaded down with, joys, sorrows, ups, downs, in-betweens, everything, says Calvin, is dealt with in some place or another in the book of the Psalms. The book of Psalms, an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. And over the next several weeks, the plan, at least at this point, is my plan for us, is to consider 8 Psalms out of the 150 Psalms. We have 8 Psalms in which this question, how long, O Lord, comes up. 8 Psalms that teach us how to bring this question to God in a godly spirit, how to bring this question to God in a way that pleases him. And also, friends, 8 Psalms that teach us what God himself may be teaching us as we ask this question of him. We'll begin today with Psalm 6. We've read it. David, who wrote Psalm 6, is clearly in a bad place in his life. He is suffering immensely. He is suffering in his body. I read in verse 2, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. I've heard from medical experts that bone pain is the worst kind of pain that our bodies can experience. David is suffering in his body. Verse 4, turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Deliver my life. David's life is somehow threatened. He's vulnerable. His body is in pain. His body is vulnerable to death. We see verse 5, for in death there is no remembrance of you in Sheol. Who will give you praise? David is suffering in his body. David is suffering in his mind. Verses 6 and 7, I am weary with my moaning, with my groaning, with my sighing. Every night I flood my bed with tears. Maybe you know what that's like. Maybe you don't. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away, says David, because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. David is not sleeping. He's probably not eating. He's down and he's out. He's depressed, likely clinically. He's suffering in his mind. Suffering in his body. He's suffering in his mind. He's suffering in his soul. Verse 3, my soul also is greatly troubled. The Proverbs remind us when the body is, and life experience teaches us. It's one thing to have the body racked in pain and yet still be able to exercise our hearts to the point where we can draw comfort from our hope in the gospel. But when our body, Proverbs say, who can comfort a weary heart, a broken soul? David's body, David's mind, David's soul are all suffering. And it's clear that David's suffering has been going on for a long, long, long time. And David pleads with God here in verse 3. But you, O Lord, how long? It's not even a full sentence. It's not grammatically correct. It's the cry of the man of God who is suffering immensely during a season of prolonged difficulty. How long, but you, O Lord, how long? David knows that his suffering could all go away in an instant if God were to give the word. David knows that. David's bodily pain, his emotional distress, his insomnia, his depression, his enemies could all just disappear. The drop of a hat, if God so willed it. That's why David, one of the reasons David cries out, how long, O Lord, you can stop this at any moment. How long? You see, the answer doesn't always come right away, does it? Doesn't always come when we want it to. This is often because God still has things to teach us before our particular trial can come to an end. Why is David suffering? David is suffering because of his own sin. David is under God's rod of discipline. And David knows it. David is not hiding it. Verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. David knows that he is under God's rebuke. He is under God's discipline. He cannot escape it. He does not want to escape it. That as far as his godliness is concerned, his flesh is crying out for deliverance from this trial. But he knows that God is just. in chastising him for his sin. And David is submitting to that. As hard as it is, what was David's sin? Well, we're not told in this case. We don't know. But whatever it was, David knew it. And David owned it. He submitted himself to God's providential dealings with him, as much as they heard. And what does David do as he submits himself to God and God's dealings with him? He casts himself on God's mercy. He casts himself on God's love and his grace to carry him through this particular trial. Verse 2, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing." In other words, "Lord, discipline me, but not as fully as justice would demand. Lord, rebuke me, but not with as fierce of anger as you have towards sin and as what I deserve for my sin. Be gracious to me, O Lord. I'm in your hand." Verse 4, "Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love." David casts himself on God's mercy and grace to carry him through his trial. Now, what's the lesson for us here as we begin to wrap up this meditation on Psalm 6? Well, there are a number of lessons that we could consider, but we are going to consider one for our purposes today. And that one lesson that I want us to consider is this. In times of prolonged adversity, difficulty, even crisis such as we find ourselves in now, when we cannot help but cry out, "How long, O Lord?" we must begin with ourselves. Not other Christians, not others in the world, not the government, not the church, not the scientists, not the doctors. We must begin with ourselves when we are under the weight of trial. And we're going to move as we expand and consider the remaining seven Psalms, "How Long, O Lord" Psalms. We're going to move beyond ourselves. God doesn't restrict us to ourselves, but we need to begin with ourselves. We need to dig deep. In a time of prolonged crisis or adversity or trial that's touched us all in one way, shape, or form, we need to turn inward, not morbidly, but we need to turn inward and dig deep and discover what, as we cry out, "How long, O Lord?" What is God teaching us about ourselves? Lessons that we, you and I, need to learn about yourself and myself before this trial can be lifted. Even a trial that is on a global scale, felt by the world collectively in so many ways, we need to begin with ourselves, because there are lessons. There are lessons for each of us that God would have us take away. So as we cry out in godliness and righteousness, "How long, O Lord?" we need to ask God to reveal to us what we must see as he continues to conform us to the image of Christ. Let me perhaps try to illustrate this and then maybe bring it home. I have a friend, or I have a pastor friend, who often refers to this pandemic as a heat gun that's just pressed itself upon everyone's lives and brought to the surface things that were always there, already there, but it just aggravated them and brought them out in individuals, in businesses, in churches, things that came to the surface and have been and continue to be aggravated by the pandemic that are not good and that need to be dealt with. And perhaps I can use this illustration. The process of boiling pasta. I love pasta. I can't eat regular wheat pasta anymore, but I can still eat other grain pasta, rice pasta, quinoa pasta. You'll know that any pasta that contains a high amount of starch runs the risk of boiling over on the stove, doesn't it? That water, if you're not careful and timing things right and temperature thing, keeping it right temperature, that water will leach out all the starch from the wheat that's or starch that's on the surface of the pasta, and that starch will rise to the top and it will spill over and foam over. And I think we could see this pandemic, these last 2 years, as related to that or akin to that. This pandemic has brought to the surface things in each of our lives, in each of our hearts and minds and actions that have always been there, but that were just kind of sitting there silent as things were going along smoothly in life. And all of a sudden, things get shaken up and, things come to the surface. We learn how much we need to grow as husbands, as wives, how much we need to grow in patience, how much we need to go back to our Bibles and understand the ways of God and be in prayer. Many, many things. And I know that I've seen things in people, in godly Christians, in churches that I never would have thought I'd see that this pandemic has brought out. I've seen things in myself that this pandemic has brought out. And as I have been asking the Lord, how long, He has been showing me things in myself that I need to address. And so, friends, we always need to begin with ourselves. God is conforming us to the image of Christ, we who belong to Him. And He is working all things together to accomplish that purpose, even, and I'm going to say, especially this pandemic. So the takeaway today, ask the question of God, how long? And if you're not asking it, ask God to bring you to that place where you are crying out, how long? But as you're asking it, ask God to show you what you need to see. As I need to ask God to show me what I need to see in my own heart that's been revealed through this trial. And we need to bring it to the cross, and we need to bring it we need to lay it down at the cross. We need to repent of what needs to be repented of. We need to turn from it. And we need to cast ourselves upon the mercy of God and rely on the Spirit to bring us and move us forward in righteousness. So we're going to consider the remaining Psalms, God willing. How long, O Lord, as we learn from the Psalms how to ask this question in a godly way. And how we can learn what God is teaching us in our lives individually and as families and as a church, how we can learn what God is teaching us as we ask that question. So we began with Psalm 6 today, where we need to always begin with ourselves. There are problems outside, there are problems outside of us, but we need to address ourselves first. That's where we have to begin. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You love us enough as Your children. You love us too much to prematurely end our trials before you have accomplished your purposes in them and through them. And Lord, I know that each one of us listening today has been tried these last several years. We do not know when this trial is going to end. But we thank you that for us who are yours in Jesus Christ, we can be confident knowing that you are using this trial first and foremost to make us more like Jesus as you bring glory to yourself. Would you help each of us to identify the areas in our lives that we must address, areas that you have brought to the surface as we have been pressed by the heat of this pandemic. And would you help us to do this, Lord, in a godly way, like David, submitting ourselves to your justice, to your righteousness, but casting ourselves on your love, mercy, and grace. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.